Welcome, everybody, to episode 313 of the RV Podcast.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the RV Podcast. You know, finding the best internet for RV travelers is a daunting task. But this week, with the help of Chris and Cherie of Technomadia, the RV Lifestyle's top internet experts, we are going to tell you what companies and what plans are the best for today's demanding RVer. And in this episode, we'll talk to Chris and Cherie, and they'll candidly warn us what to stay away from and what service providers are offering the best plans right now. And we'll learn a little bit about 5G, why it may not be ready for prime time, and looking ahead to the Starlink satellite internet constellation, what that means to RVers. And we got lots more in this episode. We will answer your RV questions about traveling with a dog, getting satellite TV on the road, and we share a great off-the-beaten-path report, as we usually do every week, from our friends Tom and Patty Burkett. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
It's beginning to look a lot like fall out there.
It's beautiful.
We are now officially in the autumn season, and I was just looking at a map, and I am seeing pretty much peak colors in much of the upper Midwest this week and next. Sounds like time for an RV trip, right?
It does sound like it's time to hit the road.
This is such a great time to be out in your RV. The crowds are still there, I think, though. Aren't you hearing a lot about that from everybody we've been talking to?
Yeah, everybody is going camping. I can't believe it.
I know.
No let up, maybe more.
I mean, I bet once, twice a week now, I'm getting calls from national media outlets that are, you know, hey, we understand that RVing is popular. You know, gosh, where were you? That's been 6 months the story's been building. But yeah, everybody is out there. And the fall season's a little busier than it normally is. Usually about this time, we're telling everybody, make sure you have your reservations for the weekends in October, because Halloween has turned into one of the biggest camping weekends in normal years. But this year, everybody's out camping already, you know, during the week.
I wonder if they'll do all the celebrating Halloween the way they have in the past.
Well, you know, it's pretty safe in a campground because you're really not that close to everybody.
But you're giving out candy. And
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good one. I've not heard anything about whether communities around the country are not doing candy or not urging people. Well, that's going to be a hard one on the little kids. They've had enough. No, you can't do that. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know about that. But
I don't know either.
In RV parks, they do have it for the kids, but it's more, from what we have seen over the last 5 or 6 years now, everybody decorates their RV.
They have fun.
And run around in costumes. And anyway, I don't know how much of that will be happening this year.
And a place that's fun to go to is Disney.
Oh, my gosh.
Their campground, how they decorate it up for Christmas. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you say Christmas because it really starts, I think, November 6th, I saw, that is when Disney starts to decorate, like, all of their stuff. And then Fort Wilderness, which is, I think, the greatest campground in the country.
A great campground.
So much fun.
Lots of fun.
And they really have fun decorating everything, so... Anyway, happy Halloween, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas. We're getting all those, all the decorations are out already, and it's only been fall for what, 2 days now. So it's nice, but it's been a great fall for Michigan, where we happen to be right now.
It was a great summer.
It was a great summer. It's been a great fall. So
yeah, we got yelled at by our Edison.
Oh, ETE, yeah.
That
yeah.
We used too much power.
Yeah. Well, we probably did.
Well, we were home.
Putting out the RV Lifestyle is a power drain, folks, between the podcast, the blog, the videos, the emails. I don't think it was that. I think it was the air conditioner that never was turned off. So anyway, we have a lot to talk about. I'm really excited about our guests, Chris and Cherie from Technomadia and the Mobile Internet Resource Center. It's a little extended an interview, and I know I've gotten great results already. Our supporters, those who have get a little special access to us in our YouTube channel and on our Facebook group, the RV supporters, I gave them a sneak peek of it over the weekend. I sent them a video version of our interview, and the supporters, those who have chosen to support us a little extra in that little, it's a kind of a closed little community, and we'll put a link later on how you can do that. But they've been just thrilled because Chris and Sheree tell it like it is. They're really a great couple, and they really know this stuff, the internet, and it changes. The rates change every day. So I think you'll find that interview coming up really interesting. What else is new with us? Anything?
Not much.
Yeah, same old,
just like everybody else.
The dog park every morning with Bo. And I hope we can get to the woods.
And we exercise. Yeah. I'm going to have a rough time leaving my machines.
Yeah.
I canceled my membership at the health club in Michigan.
Jennifer has finally picked up on my Peloton. And I'm worried because you're dangerously close to beating my output level already.
No, that isn't going to happen.
Well, I don't know. You're almost there.
I'm only going to do 20 minutes. I can't imagine doing any more than that because it is torture.
Now, you enjoy it, don't you?
When I get done.
That's the best part of exercise, when it's done. Yeah, and then you can go eat a Big Mac or something. Don't we wish? All right. So anyway, we've got a lot for you, and enough chit-chat for us. Let me just point out at this point that this part of the podcast is brought to you by Camping World, America's number one RV dealer. And we like to think of them as kind of an oasis for RVers as we travel around the country, because there are more than 225 locations across the U.S. where there's always a Camping World close by. And we love to stop and we shop for parts and accessories. It's all in stock right there. And I should point out that we have a special page with all of the RV and the camping supplies that Jennifer and I use or recommend. And even better, Camping World has offered to give listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off of all their purchases over $99. So to check them out, see what kind of the parts and accessories that we use, go to rvlifestyle.com/campingworld, all one word, Camping World. rvlifestyle.com/campingworld. You'll see all of the gear and accessories we have, and you'll find everything in terms of accessories and parts and gear, from outdoor furniture and appliances, the stuff that you see us use in our videos, RV extras, camping chairs, fire pits, electrical accessories. I mean, it's the IKEA of the camping community. So check them out. Go to see our group. It's rvlifestyle.com/campingworld. rvlifestyle.com/campingworld.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Wildfires are still burning in much of the West, but some states report improvements in both air quality and containment. Good news for residents and visitors and RVers traveling through the affected areas. The U.S. Forest Service eased restrictions in 9 of California's national forests. All 18 were closed last week. So far, 3 million acres have burned in some 27 wildfires. Sequoia and Yosemite National Park remain closed because of the fires and smoke. And in Oregon, where some 1 million acres have burned, many state parks and federally owned lands remains closed.
Now, many of us enjoy camping in the fall, and one of the things that we enjoy is taking in the beauty of the fall colors, of course. So to help you plan your travel, remember a minute ago I said how the colors were reaching their peak. I thought I would share that with you in our news of the week. I will put a link to a national fall color predictor app that we use, and we have found it to be very accurate. I mean, already some states, including mountainous areas in Montana, Colorado, northern Minnesota, and parts of Michigan's Upper Peninsula, are starting to peak this week. Others not far behind. So Jennifer and I are planning to get out this week. Look for our reports and what we find on our Instagram account, which you can find at RV Lifestyle Mike or RV Lifestyle Jen, or Bo, the RV Elk Hound. We're all on Instagram. Bo is going with us. And again, that link to the National Fall Color Predictor, you'll find that in the show notes. And when we talk about the show notes, it's basically our website with a forward slash, and then the number of the episode. And so this is episode 313. So to find that, you'd go to rvlifestyle.com/313 and just scroll down to the news of the week, and you'll find that that link right there.
Most of us have heard of the phrase house envy, but have you ever heard of garage envy? I'm guessing after you check out this story, you may get a case of it. A newspaper article in Florida featured a house for sale that had a special garage built so the homeowners could easily store their 37-foot RV. The garage is 60 feet long, 20 feet wide, and 17 feet high, and is attached to the normal garage, which is attached to a normal three-bedroom house. The couple who were selling their house, because they no longer RV, said the garage was perfect at the time, and apparently others agree. The Cape Coral home was only for sale for 1 week and received 6 offers.
That's pretty smart. So you have a regular garage and you put another garage for the RV, and then I guess if you have guests or relatives, they can stay in it, or it keeps it out of the elements.
I guess they don't have a lot of codes.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, neighborhood associations mm-hmm. and codes must not. So that's great. We'll put links to that story too. rvlifestyle.com/313 and you'll find it. New Mexico. They have been the single most restrictive state in terms of camping during the COVID-19 pandemic. And New Mexico residents are now being allowed to camp in most of their state parks as of October 1st. Camping will still remain off limits to non-state residents. Reservations have been canceled for all out-of-state visitors through at least October 16th, so the middle of October. No out-of-state camping in New Mexico state parks. Like I said, they've been among the most restrictive states when it comes to camping and outdoor state park use. To camp in New Mexico October 1st, residents of New Mexico will need to make a reservation online, and then they have to provide proof of a valid New Mexico license plate.
How does this sound for a 6-month gig? Live in a camper van, travel the country, make $50,000, and drink beer.
Whoa!
Michelob Ultra Pure Gold is looking to hire someone to travel to the national parks in a camper van and promote its beer. The pay is $50,000 for 6 months and includes expenses and gas money. And you can bring your dog, your spouse, partner, or a friend. The job will require a love of beer and nature and social media skills to capture and promote the experience. Applications are be accepted through September 30th.
Okay, we'll put a link to that too. I can see all those millennial van life RVers are going to be climbing all over each other for that gig. That's a great job for somebody.
Who knows what kind of beer they drink?
Well, they'll drink Michelob Ultra
for $50,000.
Yeah, that's a very trendy beer because it's got very little carbs and fewer calories than most beers. Mm-hmm. This part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special $75 discount to listeners of the RV Lifestyle Podcast. We had a lot of fun with our Rad Power Bikes this weekend. We have a neighbor who's interested in one, and he and his son, we let him borrow them for a while, and they were cruising all over the place. I think he's ordering one this week. And I heard from a couple of our YouTube video viewers who bought two, his and her, our Rad Power bikes this past week. RVers love e-bikes because they're so much fun to bring with you on a camping trip, for exploring, for transportation. And Rad Power Bikes is the top line with most RVers. They're made in the USA, and they have a number of different models that fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. They can all go 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. They give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You have 5 different levels of pedal assist, though, that you can use for an added boost, and they're perfect for people who want to get back into riding or are recovering from surgery or injury or maybe just looking for a little extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And Rad Power bikes are priced about half the cost of most comparable bikes on the market because they deal directly with the consumer. Retail chain markups, they're not there. Now, here's the deal. Mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, and you'll get an additional $75 off plus free shipping. Visit them at radpowerbikes.com. Remember the coupon code RV Lifestyle for an additional $75 off.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, we're going to hit two of them this week for you. First one comes via our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel from a viewer named Wanda, who saw our just released video on our favorite RV adventures. We just put a video out this week. I think we had 10 of them on there. Anyway, Wanda said, what do you do with Bo when you're going places that he can't go with you and you have him in a camper?
Number one, we try to find a doggy daycare.
Yep.
Or we might ask the people, if we're in a park, if they can suggest anybody who watches dogs in the area. That's always good to ask for recommendations because a lot of places do have people they could recommend.
We've had luck with that a couple of times.
There's Rover.
Rover is it's kind of like the Airbnb of dog sitters. It's people who offer to watch your dog in their home. Some of them will come to you. We've even had them once come to us at a campground and take Bo for a play date for the day while we went touring. I think we were in New Orleans.
Yes, we were. Yeah.
And we were with Laura Robinson and her dog. In fact, they took two of our dogs. So that's
and that was a really good deal to have somebody come pick up the dog for the day, and we didn't have to worry at all.
Now, there is no doubt, though, and we try to be really upfront about this for all of you who have these great visions of traveling with your dog. There is a cost to this. Having a dog really does cramp your style, the things that you can do. When you're planning a trip with lots of adventures, as Jen said, we often try and find a sitter. Sometimes we'll leave him back home with our daughter. But more often than not, there are prohibitions on where you can take your dog when you're out, particularly in national parks, places like that.
And since COVID's been out, Bo has been with us all the time. And it is going to be really hard on him when we leave him.
Yeah, it is. And oftentimes we have to, because when we're working for 8 hours a day, it's not fair to leave him cooped up in an RV. And
although I will say, the last time we left him at doggy daycare, he didn't even look back at us. He was ready to party.
Oh, he loved.
But,
you
know,
that was in Jacksonville.
We know you can only leave him so long because that's too stimulating.
But doggy daycare has been a pretty good thing. The ones we found, several of them that have webcams. And so it's all, when we can take a break during the day when we're working, we can, you know, zap up the webcam on our smartphone and we always see him. And
sometimes, once he looked like, I want to go home.
Yeah, well, that's what we were thinking.
That's what we were thinking.
Yeah, he did. He does like it. So those are the things, Wanda. They come at a cost, but, you know, it's all solvable with the solutions we just suggested. And here's a question that we got from our RV Lifestyle Facebook group from a member named Mandy. She says, Dish Network question. For those of you who have one, are you able to use it much? To clarify, are you actually able to get a signal at most campgrounds? We've had ours for 2 to 3 months and still haven't been able to use it. I'm starting to feel like it was a waste of money. Ours is mounted to the top of our travel trailer, and now I'm wondering if we should take it off so we can at least move it to try and get a signal, or are we doing something wrong? That's a great question, and I'm going to be really straight with you. We had a Dish Network system on our last RV, had it for about a year. And we noticed, Mandy, the exact same things. It was the same issues you described. If we were parked in a wide open field or a meadow with a clear and unobstructed view to the southern horizon, then we could get satellite signals. But the problem is, that's not our style of camping. We like the boondock, off the beaten path. And more often than not, in fact, probably 75% of the time, we had trees or mountains obstructing our view. Even in campgrounds, we had problems. Sometimes a big Class A kind of towers over our B-plus van, and that stopped us from acquiring a satellite signal. Now we did. We also had a roof mounted antenna, satellite antenna, that supposedly automatically locked on the satellites. But I think if I were ever to again add satellite to our RV, which I don't think we're going to do, we would also get one that we could move around the ground on a long hunk of cable. The problem for us is we're in a class B plus, class C motorhome, and you know, I don't want to give up all that storage room, having to wrap up all that cable and then bring in that antenna and find a place to store it. I mean, TV is just not that important to us. It's not that much. We did not use it much.
No, we didn't.
And I mean, I think it was handy in February. We were in the Everglades. Remember that? And the pandemic was just starting to get a lot of attention, and there was a lot of concern. And we did use it to watch the news because we were parked in a pretty remote part of the Everglades, and we did have an open view to the southern sky.
Now my goal in life is not to listen to the news.
Yeah, don't watch it. It's going to be the same for a couple of months anyway. But anyway, so we don't watch TV a lot on our own, and I did a whole video or whole blog post the other day on why we don't want to have satellite TV in our RV anymore, so we don't intend to get it. She bought her question. Wanda's question on our Facebook group had a lot of responses. Let me just read you a few of them so you know what others say. Phil says, we had no trouble in open campsites, but so many of them are in trees, and we do have trouble there. Said Michael, we have had a dish satellite and it works well. I have it on a portable stand so I can move it to different locations to get a signal. I also have a ladder mounted if we're in a park and trees are not a problem. From Steve, we use dish with a tailgater portable antenna on a 50-foot coax cable. We can usually get a signal if we reserve campsites ahead of time since we can see satellite images of the approximate site. And we have the road between us and the satellites, which are stationary somewhere high above Reno, Nevada. Tammy was not a happy satellite camper either. She said, everywhere we seem to be, I can't get a clear view. My opinion is it's a waste of money. I've had mine for 4 or 5 years. I've used it one time when it was new, and I had clear view of the sky. Since then, every place we park has trees. I put this darn thing everywhere I can think of in an attempt to get a signal, nothing. So there you go. The bottom line from our experience is we agree with Tammy. And like I say, I wrote an entire post on why we don't want to have a satellite TV in our RV. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/313.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. You can get in touch with Battle Born. You can find out what lithium batteries and an upgraded energy management system can add to your RV lifestyle. RVlifestyle.com/lithium is the link. Now, we have Battle Born batteries, two of them, 200-amp Battle Borns in our RV. And as we tell you every week, we our favorite style of camping and what we hope to be doing this week up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is basically boondocking out in the middle of the forest, far away from the grid, and just getting away from it all. And we can do that. In fact, Battle Born's motto is get out there and stay out there. And that is their mission, to provide RV batteries with the highest quality lithium iron phosphate technology at the fairest price. Lithium batteries offer better performance. They charge faster. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting. They're maintenance free. They weigh half of what an AGM battery does. And the team of battery experts at Battle Born, they're familiar with whatever components you have in your existing RV, no matter what kind it is, whether it's a towable or a motorhome. Just call them up Battle-borne batteries, lithium batteries, protected by a 10-year guarantee. Tell me you heard about them on the RV podcast, and just go check them out at rvlifestyle.com/lithium. That's rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV podcast interview of the week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
All right. Our guests on the RV podcast this week are Chris and Cherie of the website Technomadia, which chronicles all things technology related to RVers, as well as they have the Mobile Internet Resource Center, which is a member-supported site that is the most respected and reliable resource you will find for the absolute latest information about mobile internet. Now, Chris and Cherie are true nomads themselves. They travel the country in a converted bus they've made into an RV. They also have a Class B van, and they have a boat. They truly are the leading experts on anything related to RVing and the internet. And we had a great conversation for this podcast. I mean, finding the best internet is probably the most asked question, one of the top five, at least, that we get week after week. So we are delighted to have Chris and Cherie join us and to help talk about finding the best internet for RVers.
Well, joining us now are Chris and Cherie, and you guys are on, let's say you have a whole fleet of mobile, you're in the boat right now, right?
Yes, we have a boat, a bus, and a van, so we kind of dive into many different ways of being a nomad.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. Well, it's been a while since we've had you on, and so much has changed, particularly in the lockdown that we're all going through. And so many people now working from home, and now people say, well, why should we work at home? Let's go work from the road. So let's start off with a couple of questions about those who are out there on the road and need internet. What's the best advice for September of 2020 from the technomatic experts here that can really, they really know more about it than anybody else I know?
It's a tough challenge right now, because the needs for a lot that are hitting the road right now, they're trying to work remotely. They may be doing a lot of video work like what we're trying to do right here. They're schooling their kids on the road, and they want to be able to stream Netflix and YouTube. So they want all the high bandwidth things.
Just like they're at home.
Just like at home. But these are some of the most difficult things to do over mobile internet. And at the same time, there's a lot of us wanting to do it right now because, well, not just wanting to, we need to with the pandemic and work from home. So the carriers, especially the cellular carriers, are all having a supply and demand issue. So they're having to...
Their networks are overwhelmed. They're trying to price their plans and stuff. Their target market isn't people who live and work full-time on the road. So they're trying to design their plans around people who are... just, you know, need to be connected in between home and work, or just when they're away from the house. So we're kind of special. The whole mobile community is kind of special. We have to find the right combination of how to use the devices, what devices to use, and what plans to use that will assemble an arsenal that can actually meet our needs.
And this stuff changes all the time.
And it changes all the time.
What's best for September? It's more like what's best at this hour, because if we did recorded this 10 minutes from now, I'd probably have a completely different answer.
or tomorrow or something. Because, yeah, the plans actually just in the last week, there's been several major plan changes. And we're always kind of, that's what we do, is we guide people like, this is the best bet today. Come back tomorrow. It might be changing.
Well, it does change. And I've been a victim. And if that's probably a little harsher word, but I've been firsthand witness of some of those changes just in the last year, you know, with Togo and with the program with Nomad, which suddenly upped their rates by $50 a month. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to talk to, there's so many places that RVers are seeing that are basically resellers. Mm-hmm. Explain what a reseller is, and whether that is a reliable place where RVers should go looking for you know, unlimited, unthrottled internet.
Right. That's obviously the appeal, is those are about the only places you're going to find cellular data plans that are advertised as unlimited, unthrottled. And that's what we all want. That's not what the carriers want to provide. And what the resellers are is they tend to have access somehow to a data plan that they're able to make work as an unlimited hotspot device to use on hotspot devices or routers.
But a lot of times these resellers are basically the equivalent of flea market salespeople. They have stuff that sometimes literally fell off the back of a truck someplace. They're selling plans that were intended for this, and they're finding a way to use them for that. And when the carriers are like, well, no, you're using the plans wrong, they'll just cut all of those off.
Right. So we've been tracking this industry for a very long time, and almost every three months, there's a new reseller that comes on the scene. They get a lot of publicity. A lot of people get them and they're set up, and then suddenly they go away. And the reason is because the plans behind the scenes were not intended for this sort of usage, and those plans become then visible to the carrier because they see a whole bunch of loads. And maybe these are corporate plans that were not meant to be sold. Maybe they were tablet plans that are being repurposed on hotspot devices.
We've seen resellers in the past were secretly selling government plans or school plans and stuff that was intended for students. And they're like, oh yeah, they're students. They're actually selling them out the back door for
all sorts of things. There are also master agents in the background that do have access to legit wholesale plans.
Yeah.
And they come and go all the time. But when they see a huge increase in demand and supply and the plans being out there and people start using terabytes of data, well, the carriers go, whoa, this is not what we intended. And they find ways to shut those plans down. And we've seen this cycle. I can almost time it. It's like, oh Nomad Internet. Okay, yeah, I give that 6 weeks.
And then the next one comes along. And then there are the other things, like the prepaid brands that are owned by the carriers that are, they're not resellers. They're like a Cricket is owned by AT&T. They're not reselling AT&T plans.
Visible is owned by Verizon. So these are plans that have a little more chance of sticking
around. So you got to kind of do your homework.
So people will ask you this all the time. So they always say, well, what's the best plan for me? And you mean as of now or in 10 minutes, right? But give us a couple of things that RVers who need reliable, fast, unthrottled internet, is there any such an animal that is affordable these days?
So if you're willing to go with Sprint's network, which has traditionally been the worst network, and of course they're being taken over by T-Mobile and that process is ongoing, there are legit unlimited plans that you can get on Sprint's network, either through the FMCA's rental plan, or there's some nonprofit organizations that if you become a member of them, you have access to their unlimited plan.
And these are really unlimited, go to town, use crazy amounts of data plans.
And those have been around for a very long time. We feel really good about recommending those if Sprint works for your travels. And we don't know what's going to happen to them in the future with T-Mobile taking over. Cricket Wireless, which is AT&T's prepaid subsidiary, they currently have a mobile hotspot plan that you can put like on that Nokia Nighthawk, like what you had. And you can get 100 gigabytes of high-speed LTE data for $90 per month. That's a legit plan.
And then there's some other plans.
How much data do you get then for that under the Cricket plan?
100 gigabytes,
which is a pretty decent amount.
Help people understand how fast can you use up 100 gigabytes in a month?
Depends upon what you're doing.
We're screaming now. I do this twice a week. A lot of people are doing Zoom meetings every day.
Right. Exactly. So Zoom, let's use that as an example. To do a two-way interactive Zoom meeting or a group meeting, you can burn through about 3 gigabytes per hour. Doing that. So that adds up really quick. If you're having to do 4 or 5 Zoom calls a day during your workday, you're going to need a lot of data and a lot of those Cricket plans. So that's why those reseller plans are so attractive, is because you're getting that unlimited data. But the risk is that plan may last a month. It may last 6 months. You just don't know.
But on the other hand, like if your main purpose is doing things like Zoom or Netflix or many of these other things, if you do those tasks instead of on your laptop, you do them on a tablet or on your phone, which actually works really great for Zoom and for Netflix watching, all that other stuff. There are unlimited plans that will give you unlimited on your tablet or on your phone if you're not trying to worry about sharing it with a laptop.
Right. You can add on Verizon and AT&T. If you've got your smartphones on unlimited plans with those carriers directly, you can add them for $20 a month and get unlimited on-device data on a cellular-enabled iPad or tablet. Yeah. And that's a great way to offload a lot of that data usage.
Yes.
Legit.
So that, was, That would also include streaming Netflix at night after you've done Zoom.
Exactly. And if you do an HDMI out cable, like Apple's got one for their iPads, you can even put that to your large screen TV. So there are ways to use data. It's just don't focus so much on that hotspot data. Find ways that you can use it on a tablet or a smartphone. What can you do on device?
Back to the retailers for a moment. Is there any, do you recommend at any time that people deal with the reseller?
We do. So we don't recommend specific dealers because
they're all basically the same.
But it does make sense. I mean, you just need to go in eyes wide open, and we keep vendor lists. Our staff goes through every single vendor that's out there about every week and updates our vendor list to see who's in business, what the pricing is. And we have huge, huge disclaimers on those vendor lists. These are all the things you need to know about this style of plan. And our biggest advice is if you just choose to go with them, is always have a backup option ready to go, because those plans can literally go overnight.
Yeah. So consider you're using those plans until you lose those plans. And so it's great. You might be able to find an amazing deal for, $120 a month. It's unlimited, but it might last a month. It might last 3 months. It might last a year. You just have to have that in the back of your mind. Like, what will you do if you turn it on tomorrow and it's gone?
There you go. And that's a big reason to keep your distance, at least in our book. A couple of things that are around the horizon. One that's here now, we're hearing so much, particularly from AT&T, about 5G.
Right.
Is that ready for prime time yet, and particularly for RV nomads? Or?
So all three carriers, and we're going to not talk about Sprint, we're just consider them part of T-Mobile right now. They all have a plan for 5G, and they are all in progress of it. And the first thing to understand about 5G is there are three flavors. There's the millimeter wave ultra fast 5G. That's the short range stuff that you're getting in just a few urban or areas. That is not the 5G that SRVers and cruisers, that doesn't really impact
you'll see them in an ad show 2 gigabit per second speed, crazy speeds, and they're actually offering unlimited plans to use those crazy speeds, but won't even pass through a window. Though that is super short range technology.
You mean like basically underneath the tower.
they're putting the towers. These are for cities where they're putting the towers on street corners, on every street light on the street corners. And that's where it's just going to provide coverage in downtowns and stuff. Eventually, it'll be a lot more places, but don't worry about millimeter wave for RVers now.
And Verizon's calling that ultra wideband.
They're calling it different names. Yeah. AT&T calls it 5G plus. Okay. And then there's the low band of 5G that is basically 5G on top of the same spectrum as 4G. So the care people are saying, 5G won't matter, it's not going to have coverage. Well, by the end of this year, all the carriers are going to be turning all this low band 5G on, and they'll be able to say, hey, you've got 5G coverage just about everywhere. Almost any place they had 4G, they'll have 5G. But because that 5G is using the same highways basically through the sky as the 4G, it will be just really good 4G. It won't be massively different. So no reason to rush out and get a 5G hardware for that, because all you're getting is a new icon in the corner. It's not transformative yet.
It's probably not going to be faster. Probably all the unlimited plans that will come out for 5G will be for the millimeter wave, not this long range 5G. It's going to get really complicated in the future.
For the next 2 years.
And then there's mid-band 5G that's coming out. And this is that sweet spot in between that millimeter wave and that long range 5G that's faster and
has decent coverage.
And that's not yet deployed yet.
Yeah, and T-Mobile has got a huge head start on that, but still that's like building new towers, putting new stuff out there. That's going to be the 5G that rolls out over the next several years and becomes very significant. But nobody needs to rush out for 5G now, but you don't need to avoid it either. Like the new iPhones coming out next month will have 5G. And by this time next year, every new phone will just be 5G. That's just the way things are going.
But as you saw in the last week, both Verizon and AT&T launched their first consumer accessible 5G mobile hotspot devices that cover both that millimeter wave in the urban areas and the extremely long range that's layered over the 4G. And they both are out. They're both very capable devices. They have really, really the strongest and peak of technology for 4G LTE
by Google
as well.
Capable
for both current use and for future.
Yeah, but they're twice as much as their 4G hotspots. So do you really want to invest in that future proofing now, or wait a year or two when everything will have 5G built in.
More options out as well.
They seem to be about $500 just for the device.
The new AT&T Nighthawk 5G device is $510, and the Verizon
is $399.
$399. So they're double the price of their 4G equivalents, and the 4G equivalents are
still great.
They're still great. They're still flagship devices.
Here's a question that kind of goes with this whole thing. The importance anymore of a cellular booster. It was all the rage a couple of years ago, and we're not hearing much about cellular boosters. The last time we talked, you said you really don't need it with these new MIMO antennas.
Right. Most of the time you don't. I would say 80% of the time, a MIMO antenna, especially an externally hooked up one to a hotspot or cellular embedded router, is going to outperform a booster.
Right. And the place where boosters are handy is, well, phones don't have a way to work with an antenna. So if you're only trying to work with a cell phone, well, then a booster is still going to help you there because you can't put an antenna onto that. And then there are certain fringe areas and stuff where a booster can still help, particularly if your main goal is to increase your uploads. If you're doing a lot of video, that might be important.
Video broadcasting requires upload speeds. Uploading large files to YouTube, or even just syncing to the cloud if you're doing a lot of backups and things like that. That's where upload can make a difference. And that's where a booster can have a big impact, because that's essentially putting a megaphone onto your cellular device so that it can shout louder back to the tower.
So what we often teach people is that a booster can cut your download speeds in half, but in the process, it might actually increase your upload speed sometimes by 10x. So it's all a matter of, most people don't need a booster most of the time, but some people, it's really useful to have on occasion.
What about a booster in terms of a router or a jetpack or a MiFi device? Does this help there?
Yes, they can. You just want to take off any external antennas that you have on your roof and have that jet, because the external antenna is where the signal's coming into. So if you remove the external antenna from the jetpack, you just put the hotspot.
The booster and the jetpack together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they can increase signal to the hotspot as well. Yes.
All right. Now, last area I want to talk about, and the part that's really got me excited, is low orbit satellite. This whole constellation that's now up there. That is. I'm just hearing all sorts of great things about that and its potential. How far off are we? Is that a viable option for RVers? Are you guys excited about it? When will we see it?
Yeah, so we are actually right now aboard our boat in Sanford, Florida, and we are 40 miles away from the launch pad over at Cape Canaveral, and we're watching every single Starlink launch going up. We're super excited about it.
But there is
a reality check with SpaceX. And there's two other low Earth orbit satellites going up. There's OneWeb as well as Project Kuiper.
And Amazon actually has their own. They're investing billions and billions of dollars. So there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening in space. But it takes a long time to build these massive networks in space. SpaceX with Starlink is way ahead. They have over 700 satellites up now. They're in private beta right now, basically friends and family and employees and stuff. And sometime before the end of the year, they're going to start a public beta test of Starlink service. But their primary focus is fixed residential locations. They are intending to support mobile users eventually. We have no idea how far out it will be before they start to make it mobile friendly. So all they're doing right now is about for houses with in a fixed location with very clear views of the sky in all directions.
Yeah.
It will get really, really exciting, and SpaceX moves really fast, so who knows how quickly it will get exciting for mobile users, so we're definitely tracking it every day.
Earlier this year, we were starting to hear RVers in a lot of groups and forums to say, hey, don't buy any cellular stuff. You're going to have Starlink by the end of the year. That is not true. So we do advise that RVers and boaters alike, don't plan your mobile internet systems around satellite quite yet. If you need it between now and this time next year, focus on cellular still. But satellite will be very interesting, and we'll know a lot more this time next year.
And even when satellite is out, it will probably be a really great complement to cellular. They will go hand in hand, because satellite's not going to work if you're parked in dense trees, or even a little bit of trees sometimes could block it.
Or mountain blocking your view.
Or buildings or things like that. So there's always going to be a place for cellular, and a place where satellite is going to be coming back on the scenes in exciting ways.
Well, it's so much to digest, but you have helped us see a path through the trees. Mobile Internet Resource Center, Chris and Cherie's service to the internet community that are on four wheels or on a boat. We cannot stress how much we are glad that you guys are out there. That's the only place I recommend people go for information. And I'm a reseller of you guys. I tell everybody go there.
Thank you.
We welcome everybody to come over to mobileinternetinfo.com. We've got a ton of the resources we provide are completely free. And then for people who want to go deeper, we've got memberships.
We're all funded by the memberships.
No advertising.
We're not sponsored, nor do we depend on selling.
I'm trying to do that myself, move more away from sponsors and move more towards community support. But it's a tough task. And
it is a tough task, but it's a lot. I think a lot of people are tired of advertising and affiliate sales and things like that. Yep. So I think hopefully more and more appreciating people who are creating content good stuff and doing it with their best interests at heart.
Yep, that's what we're trying to do. We'll see. It's a long, it's like, pulling teeth, as you know, sometimes.
It definitely is.
Use everything free. Hey, thank you, Chris and Cherie, for making time for us. We'll put links in the show notes to all of the resources that you guys have. And we'll have you back. I think we'll have to have you back twice a year just to stay up on all this.
Probably so, yes. Always welcome. Just
drop us an email.
We're happy to come on. Thank you so much for having us.
Hi, that's Chris and Cherie from Technomedia, the Mobile Internet Resource Center, and they are the go-to people if you have questions about what's the best internet today. As they pointed out in that interview, it's changing all the time. Now, they had a lot of information, and if you want to go back and look at, done a transcript of the entire interview, so you can look at it, a written transcript of this. Just go to the show notes for this episode, which is rvlifestyle.com/313. And scroll down the Interview of the Week segment, and you'll see a picture of Chris and Cherie, and then you'll see this full transcript of the interview, so you can go back, and anything you might have missed that you want to check out, it is all right there. You know, one of the sponsors that we are delighted to talk about week after week, and they've been a sponsor now for many years, our friends at Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida. These guys, Nick and Craig and the whole crew there at Sunshine State RVs, have, I think, the largest selection of used small motorhomes that you'll find anywhere in North America, and a full line of small motorhomes, brand new, from the likes of Winnebago, like the Winnebago Travada, the Era, the Coachman Galleria, the Coachman Beyond, the American Patriot, Fleetwood IROC. Small motorhomes are their specialty, new and used. And what I love about these guys is how hard they will work for you. Call them up, go to the website first, take a look at their inventory. It's all there, sunshinestatervs.com. And then call up Nick. I know Nick has many times gone out to his lot with his cell phone and done FaceTime or live face videos for everybody to see the RV. If you buy a new RV from these guys, they'll deliver it to your driveway anywhere in North America. But I recommend you get down there, fly down, and then buy your RV and then have an adventure in Florida and enjoy it as you come back home. You need to go check them out. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure everything works the way it is supposed to. My best advice to you is go to their website first and then pick up the phone and give them a call. If you're shopping around, this is where I think you can find what you want. SunshineStateRVs.com is the name of the website. Once again, SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, Off the Beaten Path is, of course, our friends Tom and Patty Burkett. And this week, they take us to one of those more unusual museums that they find out there off the beaten path.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Maybe you missed the GE Home of Tomorrow at the 1964 World's Fair, but millions more have had the chance to see it at Disney World. Just as sure as the end of World War II ushered in a new era in home ownership and domestic science, it brought with it new products for the home and kitchen. You may remember is it Live or is it Memorex? Or nothing sucks like Electrolux. If you do, you'll remember the neighborhood ladies who sold Tupperware. Maybe one of them was your mom or your grandmother.
You might think this plastics juggernaut was the brainchild of Earl Tupper. After all, Earl had gone to work in Massachusetts' plastic industry after his Tupper Tree Doctor's company went bust during the Great Depression. And he did invent the trademark burping Tupper seal. But old Earl was an introvert, a lab man, an inventor, and not a salesman or promoter. Enter Brownie Wise. Brownie had cut her teeth selling Stanley products, brooms and mops and cleaning chemicals. When she saw Earl's plasticware, she knew just what was needed.
Tupperware home parties were an opportunity for the newly liberated homemaker to strut her stuff. She showed off her house and kitchen, whipped up a batch of delicious party foods, and demonstrated the product by throwing it on the floor, serving on it, cooking in it, and extolling the flavor-saving virtue of the upper seal. Soon enough, Earl noticed just how much product Brownie was ordering and brought her into the company to develop a nationwide network of party hostesses. She organized conventions called Jubilees with skits and musicians and prizes, taking advantage of the sales force that was the country's stay-at-home moms.
In the late 1950s, Tupper and Wise were on the outs. Success was making her arrogant and him jealous and testy. Without warning, he fired her and sold the company. He divorced his wife and donated their 200-acre farm and historic homestead to Bryant College. To avoid taxes, he bought an island and moved to Costa Rica, where he died in 1983.
The largest collection of Tupperware is at Syracuse University in New York, but all this history can be readily explored in Kissimmee, Florida, at the museum called the Tupperware Confidence Center. There you can see the lettuce keeper and the celery keeper and the snap tops, salt and pepper shakers you remember, as well as all the new Tupperware products. You can watch demonstrations in the on-site kitchen and visit the gift shop for an eye-popping array of colors and uses.
Tupper was a prolific inventor and received hundreds of patents, but will always be remembered for Tupperware, which had sales of nearly $3 billion last year. Women around the world are still selling Tupperware and attending Jubilees. A new look at old ideas, some historical tidbits you never knew but probably should, and just the right thing to solve that storage problem in your RV. They're all waiting for you out here off the beaten path.
Thank you, Tom and Patty Burkett, for another great Off the Beaten Path report. And you can read that in the show notes as well, as a couple of photos that the Burketts sent along. And the show notes for this episode you can find at rvlifestyle.com/313.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the rvlifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. Check out the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/313. Lots of information on the rvlifestyle.com blog every day, new content. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube as well, the RV Lifestyle channel. Hey, look for our Instagram as we head to the UP to look at the color this week. On behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, happy trails!